Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're still studying the concept of Vishuddha because we're trying to understand what is Bhagawan. To understand the nature of his body and of the spiritual world, which is his residence, to understand what they are, it's important to have a grasp on the concept of the spiritual mode of goodness. So we're still looking at the explanation of the two verses spoken as a prayer by Markandeya to Sri Narayana Rishi, that is spoken in the 8th chapter of the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam. I'll read the verses again in their translation just to reorient, although we're actually already on the explanation of the second half of the second verse, I think. Gaur, sit down, Gaur. Sat. Yeah, I know. No, no, I don't know what. I know, but I'm just reviewing. I'm reading the verses again. We were 10:12 is in the middle of the explanation, but I wanted to go over the verses again so you know what we're explaining. So I'll read the verses. Sattvam rajas tama iti shatavatma bando maya maya stiti layod bhava hetavosya lila dvita yadapi sattvamayi prashantiyai nanyen vinam vyasana moha biyaschayabhyam. I'm sorry. Just that these computers are not different from the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam in it, but it shouldn't be right on the floor. Where did I go? Where did I stop? I read the first verse, second verse. Tasmat viha bhagavan atatavakanam shuklam tanum svadayitam kushala bhajanti yat sattvata purusha rupam ushanti sattvam loko yato bhayam utatma sukham na chanyat. And the translation again, this is basically Prabhupada's translation. I changed a few words to fit Jiva Goswami's explanation, if that's okay. So the translation of the two verses. O my Lord, O supreme friend of the conditioned soul, although for the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this world, you accept the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, which constitute your illusory potency, you specifically employ the mode of goodness to give complete peace to the conditioned souls. The other two modes simply bring them suffering, illusion, and fear. Then the second verse. O Lord, because the kingdom of God, where there is no fearlessness, and the happiness of the self is achieved. Oh, wait a minute. I put the word no in there by mistake. Okay, let me read it again. O Lord, because the kingdom of God, where there is fearlessness, and the happiness of the self is achieved through the mode of pure goodness, your devotees consider this mode, but never passion and ignorance, to be a direct manifestation of you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Intelligent persons thus worship your beloved transcendental form, composed of pure goodness, along with the spiritual forms of your pure devotees. So pure goodness, Vishuddhasattva, is the substance of which the Supreme Lord's body is made of. It's the substance of which the spiritual world is made of, and it's the substance of which the bodies of his devotees are made of in the spiritual world. But still, there's one more thing said about Vishuddha Sattva here. What is that? In the second verse. That kingdom of God is achieved only by Vishuddha Sattva. Those who want to go to that spiritual world have to take shelter of Vishuddha Sattva, the mode of pure goodness. Only by the power of that mode of pure goodness, or by the purity of that goodness, are they able to enter Vaikuntha. So, our understanding is that the modes, the living entity by nature, his composition, his actual substantial nature is Vishuddha Sattva. Every living entity is made of pure goodness. So naturally, every living entity belongs in the spiritual world. Just like aquatics belong in the ocean, birds belong in the sky, and we belong on the ground. We have earthy bodies, so we live on the earth. Those who have fiery bodies can live in this middle of the sun globe, and so on. And those who have Vishuddha Sattva bodies can live in the atmosphere of Vishuddha Sattva in Vaikuntha. And there's no other way to get into Vaikuntha but to transform the quality of your substance, give up all connection with the modes of passion and ignorance. Fortunately, that can be done. Our modes are not permanently connected to us. We can change our modes. Because we're by nature pure, the contamination of the lower modes can be given up. There's always some way to do it. It may not be easy, but there's always some means to give up what is unnatural and to regain your natural condition. There are others who actually, even among the Vaishnavas, there's others who deny that, who say that your guna is built into your sarupa, and you cannot get away from it. If you're a rajasic jiva, you'll always be a rajasic jiva, and you'll never become anything else. You may appear like something else because there's an exterior covering of something else, but when that covering is taken away, what you are in the essence is rajasic or tamasic or sattvic. But anyway, here this verse says that those who are kushala, what does kushala mean? What's the literal meaning? Yeah. Someone who's expert, because kushala grass is not easy to cut. It's very tough. It has these joints. It's very hard to cut. So someone who can cut kushala grass is kushala. And also there's, you know, if you want to use the kusha grass in sacrifice, you can't just cut it any old way. If you cut it the wrong way and don't say the right mantras, to get anything wrong, it's ruined. So you have to be expert to cut the kusha grass properly for the sacrifice. Anyway, those who are kushala, this statement of Markandeya says, they're the ones who worship the Supreme Lord Sattva Tanum. His body in pure goodness, Shukalam Tanum. Others don't. So here that's what's said. Our Siddhanta leads us to interpret that any jiva could become kushala. Others say that only some jivas have the potential, not all, to be kushala, to worship the Supreme Lord. But our philosophy is that every living being can become an active servant of the Supreme Lord, worship him, and regain the pure state of Vishuddha Sattva. It may require taking a human body if you're in an animal body, but any human being should be able to practice devotional service. Okay, that was a little bit of a digression, but now we're going to go back to 10:12 where we are, and pick up. So the word sattva is going to be glossed on now. Where is sattva? Sattva is the very first word in the first of those two verses. Oh, that's where it is. The end of the third line. Okay, it's not qualified. There's no adjective. But purusha rupam and sattvam are referring to the same thing, the apposition. The purusha rupam, which is sattva. And that must mean vishuddha sattva. Anyway, let's see. Now we're going to comment on this word sattva and what comes after it. Because you could say, well, sattva might mean material goodness, but it doesn't make sense in the context. We're talking about the sattva that is the body of the Supreme Lord, purusha rupam. Okay, so 10:12. Atra sattva shabdena saprakashata lakshana swarupa shakti vritti vishesha uchyate. Sattvam vishuddham vasudeva shabditam yadiyate tatvapuman apavritaha. That's a statement from the third chapter of the fourth canto. What's happening in the third chapter of the fourth canto? I think it's still part of the story of the Daksha Yagya. Who speaks this verse? Yeah. I'm sorry. Uddhava Gita. But it's not 11th canto, it's 4th canto. Lord Shiva is... Yes, that's right. When Sati is asking to go to the sacrifice and he's preaching to her. And he's talking about worshiping the Supreme Lord. Yeah. Okay. Let me turn off the phone. Okay. So, anyway. Ityadi udish... Udharishyamanas anusarat. Okay, let's see what that much is translated as. Here the word sattva describes a particular function of the Lord's personal energy, characterized by its being self-luminous. This follows from the verse which we will be discussing later on, which begins... The pure mode of goodness is called Vasudeva because within it the Supreme Person reveals himself. Agocharasya gocharatve hetu prakriti guna sattvam itya shuddha sattva lakshana prasidhyanusarena tadabhuta chitchakti vritti vishesha sattvam iti sangati labhat cha. The special function of the Lord's personal energy being such, it is also called sattva in parallel fashion to the established definition of impure material goodness. Goodness is the mode of nature which makes the unperceived perceivable. That's definition of material goodness. And we can give the same name to pure spiritual goodness, because it has the same kind of qualities. In the material world, the knowledge, the wisdom, the clarity of intelligence that is produced by coming under the influence of sattva guna allows one to discover truths that he couldn't discover under the influence of the mode of passion and ignorance. Thus, the endeavor of science is supposedly conducted in the mode of goodness in order to discover the inner truths of nature. That's material goodness working. Certainly, spiritual goodness, Vishuddha Sattva, does the similar activity of revealing the secrets of the absolute truth within the spiritual world. For everyone who has failed to come under the influence of Vishuddha Sattva, The Lord is at Hoksaja. He's beyond perception, imperceptible. The unperceived becomes perceived by the influence of the mode of Vishuddha Sattva. Okay, so therefore, it makes good sense to, even though the two modes are different, the material mode and the spiritual mode, they share the qualities that make good sense to call them both sattva. That which makes the perceivable unperceived, perceivable. Tatascha tasya swarupa shakti vittitvena swarup atma taivet yuktam tad abhayam atma sukamiti. In this way, because pure goodness is a function of the Supreme Lord's personal energy, it belongs to his essential self. This is stated in the words abhayam, fearlessness, and atma sukham, happiness of the self. Okay. How is this stated by the two words, abhayam and atma sukham? Okay, anyway, it's sattva, the sattva, Vishuddha sattva, is described as being fearlessness and happiness of the self. Or in other words, these qualities are found in Vishuddha Sattva. Okay, these are certainly qualities of the personality of the Supreme Lord himself. Fearlessness, happiness, these are qualities of a person, not of a thing. People have happiness. People have fearlessness. The Supreme Person certainly has these qualities within him. Eternally. We sometimes are free from fear. We are sometimes happy. But the Supreme Lord and his pure devotees are always fearless and happy. These are two very important qualities. People work very hard, struggle, undergo so much difficulty to acquire these this fearlessness and happiness. Since fearless and happiness is manifested by the pure mode of goodness, we can conceive of the goodness not as a person but a thing, although in the spiritual world everything is personal. But even if you're looking at the sattva as just a thing and questioning why do we call the thing fearless and happy, we can understand that means that anyone who is affected by Vishuddha sattva becomes fearless and happy. The residents of Vaikuntha and everybody who comes into contact with them become fearless and fearless and happy. So in that way, Vishuddha sattva contains fearlessness and happiness because it carries them, just like an electric wire carries the electrons, the electricity. It's the medium. Vishuddha sattva is the medium that carries the qualities of fearlessness and happiness. Okay, commentary. The first of Markandeya's two statements under discussion begins with the word sattvam, which Shri Jiva now further clarifies and will once again discuss near the end of this Bhagavad Sandarbha, 98:10. There's 101 anuchedas in this Bhagavad Sandarbha, so 98 is close to the end. Pure spiritual sattva is not inert matter, but alive and conscious. Thus it is self-luminous. What is the word? Swa what? In the verse? I don't see a word. Okay, anyway, somewhere it said that it's self-luminous. I don't see it in those two verses. Where's that? Not in the verse, but in Jiva Goswami's. Okay, so Jiva Goswami says it's Svaprakasha. Great, okay. Thus it is self-luminous, Svaprakasha. Meaning that it knows itself and is not merely an object of the knowledge of living beings. Similar to how objects in a room need a lamp to illumine them, but the lamp does not need another lamp to illumine itself. Okay, if you got a lamp in the room, you don't need it. As you turn it on, you don't need to bring another lamp to find the first lamp. The first lamp is providing enough light to show itself as well as other things. Both the material and spiritual modes of goodness share the same name, sattva. Because they both function to make things perceivable in their respective limited and unlimited domains. Respective. Domain of material goodness is limited, of spiritual goodness unlimited. In other words, sattva is the mode of consciousness. It is also the mode of substance. It is also the mode of sustenance and persistence, while rajas is the mode of creation and change, and tamas is the mode of oblivion and inertia. Okay. Now we move on to 10:13. Let me just check one thing that might be wrong here. Okay. 10:13. Shaktitva pradanya vivaksha yoktam loko yata. So those are another two words in the verse. Artantare bhagavad vigraham prati rupam yareta ityadau shuddha sattva sarupa matvatva prati gya bangaha. Focusing on the idea of pure goodness being an energy, the words through which the spiritual world is achieved, loko yata, so which world are we talking about? Spiritual world. And what's the verb? Loko yata. The implied verb is it's achieved. Through which the spiritual world is achieved. Description of Vishuddha Sattva. They're spoken. Vishuddha Sattva is a substance, but it's also an energy. As an energy, What do energies do? Anyone study physics? What's an energy? Moving force. Now, yeah, potential to do work. Potential to get to for something to happen, for work to be done. Work doesn't mean a paying job. It means any activity. That's an energy. Energies are things that make activity possible. They're potentials. That means I may have in me the potency of cooking, but I'm not cooking right now. I'm busy doing something else, but I could cook, so I have the potential. And energy doesn't have to be active all the time, but the potential is there. So Vishuddha Sattva, we can look at it as a thing, a substance. We can also look at it as a potential, an energy. As an energy, it does things. What does it do? What does it do? It arranges for people to achieve the spiritual world. That's what it does. Like a travel agent. That's the activity of the potential activity of Vishuddha Sattva. Potential because it's not always doing it for everybody. Everybody isn't getting liberated all the time. Only a few people are getting liberated some of the time. But sometimes the potential is realized, and Vishuddha Sattva does its work. Or even material goodness helps in that work. Okay. Now, suppose we said, no, loka must mean something else. Heaven or some material planet. But if we try to give a different interpretation, we get into trouble. So Jiva Goswami says, understanding this otherwise, the words loko yata, would confute the proposition about the personality of Godhead's personal form. Stated in the verse beginning, this form, Rupam Tvaitat, the second verse, the statement is that its essential nature, the essential nature of the Lord's personal form, is exclusively pure goodness. Continuing. Well, let's see. What does that have to do with it? Oh, Lokayata is referring actually to the body, isn't it? Purusharupam. Purusharupam is the subject here. So the Purusharupam is that by which you attain Vaikuntha. By worshipping the form of the Supreme Lord, even in the material world, you can get liberation, elevation to the spiritual world. So the body of the Lord, which is made of Vishuddhisattva, that's the means by which you can attain the Supreme Lord. And if you don't think so, then that would contradict what it's already been said, that the personal form is exclusively composed of pure goodness, no material goodness. So it's not that you worship Vishnu and you go to some Vishnu loka in the material world, just like worshiping Indra and going to Indra loka. It's not another material world. The world of Vishnu is not a material world. That's contradicted by the fact that Lord Vishnu's body is pure goodness. It's not a material quality, so it doesn't send you, it doesn't bring you to a material place. Okay? Okay, continuing here. Abhayam ityadau pranjalata hanish chabhavati. In addition, the simplicity of the ideas of fearlessness and so on would be spoiled. And by the one word, okay, anyat padasyaikasyaiva rajastamas cheti dvir avritau pratipati gauravam chot padyate. And by the word, one word, anyat, other, is in there, in the verse, having to be implicitly repeated, in reference to both modes of passion and ignorance, comprehension would be rendered unnecessarily complex. Okay, the verse says, let's go back to the verse. The sattvatas who are smart, they worship the Purusharupam, which is pure goodness, and from that body of pure goodness comes achievement of Vaikuntha, Utatma sukham na chanyat. That pure body contains the happiness of the self, and it's not anything else. Now, anyat doesn't refer to passion and ignorance. Because if it did, then, first of all, passion and ignorance are two different things. Anyat is singular, so you'd have to have two anyats to cover both passion and ignorance, or else make it dual, which is not dual here. It's anyat, singular. So, therefore, Jiva Goswami is saying, if we were talking about material goodness in this last line, then anyat would have to refer to what's contrary to it, passion and ignorance. But passion and ignorance are two things, and anyat is a singular word. So it gets complicated. You have to imply a second anyat. Interpreting like that, that sattvam being discussed here as material goodness, contradicts what we already was said in the first verse, that the body of the, or the first half of the second verse, that the body of the Supreme Lord is composed only of pure spiritual goodness. Okay, that's the argument. The argument why the sattva described in the third line, mentioned in the third line of the second verse, has to refer to Vishuddhisattva, spiritual goodness. Okay, then there's a little more here. Purvam api nanye iti dvi vachanena eva dve paramishte tasmarati asti prasidhad anyat svarupabhutam sattvam. Previously, both these modes were indicated by the dual number, nanye. there was Nanye stated in an earlier verse. Isn't it at the end of the first verse? No, but Nanye is in the beginning of the, is at the beginning of the fourth line of the first verse. Nanye, and the end of the second verse, Chanyut. So the dual was already used to refer to passion and ignorance. Why use singular now if you're referring to passion and ignorance? Whoa, where am I? Okay, here. Okay. Tasmad asti prasiddhad anyat swarupa bhutam sattvam. Therefore, beside the commonly known mode of goodness, there is another belonging to the Supreme Lord's essential nature. Some materialistic thinkers are going to insist that a sattva is sattva. If we use the word sattva, we must be referring to the mode of material nature in material world. There is no other sattva. An idea of a spiritual sattva is just imagination. That's the materialistic argument. But we've just shown by our analysis that the Bhavatam, Markandeya, speaking in the Bhavatam, is referring to a different kind of sattva, a spiritual sattva. So materialists, if they want to hold their viewpoint, they're going to have to disagree with Markandeya and with many other statements in the Bhavatam. So anybody ever ask you, where does it say in the Bhagavatam that there is a spiritual goodness? Right here, in this prayer by Markandeya Rishi. Commentary. Devotees of the Supreme Lord value the pure mode of goodness not just for what it is, but for what it can give them. Not just as a thing, a substance, but as a potential, an energy. The devotees worship pure goodness for what it can give them. Although as a transcendental substance, Vishuddha Sattva is certainly praiseworthy, it is as a potency that it does good for those who take shelter of it. Rishi Markandeya identifies this good as loka, abhaya, and atmasukha. Attainment of the eternal world, freedom from fear, and happiness in self-realization. The Rishi indicates unequivocally that the sattva, comprising the body of the Supreme Lord, is transcendental. If despite this we insist that sattva must be material on the grounds that pure spirit has no form, that's okay. The materialist will say there is no other sattva, there is no spiritual existence. The impersonalist will say, or the Mayavadi impersonalist will say, there's pure existence but it has no form, and therefore it shouldn't be called sattva. If despite this we insist that sattva must be material on the grounds that pure spirit has no form, we will be contradicting any number of declarations made by the speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam about the nature of God's body. As an example, a statement from Lord Brahma's prayer for creative power has been referred to here. How has it been referred to here? Let's see. Rupam yadetad avabodhana sodayena shashvat nivritta tamasak sadanugrahaya adhau grihitam avatara shataika bijam yannabhi padma bhavanada havamavirasam. This, oh boy, let's see. Let's go back here. This is 392, and where is that referred to? Okay, yeah, in the beginning, the second sentence of 10.13, it said that understanding this otherwise would confute the proposition about the Supreme Godhead's personal form, stated in the verse beginning this form. I mistook this form to be the second verse by Markandeya. No, it's a verse spoken by Brahma, Rupam Yad Etad, beginning Rupam Yad Etad, in Canto 3, Chapter 9. And here's that verse, 3.9.2. Translation, the form which I see eternally freed from material contamination and has invented to show mercy to the devotees as a manifestation of internal potency. This incarnation is the origin of many other incarnations, and I am born from the lotus flower grown from your navel home. Navel with an E, not A, not nautical, but from his belly button. Now, this clearly says, Shashvat Nivritta Tamasa, all the tamas is, there is no tamas at all in it. Still, it's sattva. It's a mode, but it's not a material mode. Again, reiteration or confirmation from the speakers in the Bhagavatam, not just Vyasadeva talking, but he's citing the authority of great sages like Markandeya and even Lord Brahma, that Vishuddha Sattva is separate. It's something different than material goodness. Jiva Goswami is taking a lot of trouble to make this point because there are serious thinkers who think otherwise. So we have opposition from people who deny the separate existence of Vishuddha Sattva. Even the Mayavadis are actually denying the spiritual substance of Vaikuntha and of the body of Vishnu. So this has to be defended. It has to be defended strongly with all philosophical arguments. And Jiva Goswami is taking the trouble to go to such extents. Okay, continuing. In the opinion of the impersonalists following Shankaracharya, the personality of God is only Saguna Brahman, the reflection in material goodness of the formless supreme. So they say, yeah, the body of Vishnu, as Brahma and Markandeya says, is a sattva, but that sattva is material sattva. There is no other sattva. That's what Mayavadis say. Because Bhagawan is a person with individual qualities, he is not absolutely real and perfect, Mayavadis say. But trying to interpret what Markandeya says according to this view leads to difficulties. The world achievable by Vishuddha Sattva can still be Vaikuntha, which will become demoted to a material realm like the planets of other deities. But fearlessness and the happiness of the self will have to be redefined as relativized counterparts of real Abhaya and Atma Sukha. The Mayavadis are promoting their version of Abhaya and Atma Sukha. You know, they have their Atma Sukhananda Swamis and their Abhaya Ananda Swamis. But their idea is something different. As far as they're concerned, the Atma Sukha and the Abhaya of Vaikuntha is inferior material. They don't deny the existence of God. They don't deny the existence of Vaikuntha, but they relativize the Supreme Lord and his abode. They drag them down into the realm of material things. Continuing, if we assume that realization of Saguna Brahman is not complete, as the Mayavadis do, you have to go beyond Saguna realization to Nirguna Brahman. Then we will be faced with the complexities that the benefits obtained by worshipping Lord Vishnu are limited by certain conditions, like the fine print on a contract. The last sentence of Markandeya's says, basically, that intelligent persons worship the Supreme Lord's form of pure goodness, not the other. The other, anyat, means, as Srila Jiva prefers to read it, the other material kind of expansion from the Lord. They worship his spiritual body. They don't worship his Virat Rupa or his material Vibhutis. But in the different interpretation, Shuklam Tanum is taken to indicate a body of material sattva, which naturally contrasts with the other two modes, Rajas and Tamas. But then the singular personal pronoun Anyat has to carry the double burden of standing for two different antecedents, not normally done. In just the previous verse, the same word Anya was used in the dual rather than the singular form, Anye, in reference to the same Rajas and Tamas. So if they were now also meant to be the antecedents of Anyat in this verse, the word should have again been expressed in the form Anye. In Sarvasamvadini, commenting on this verse, this part of the Anucheda, Srila Jiva cites as an example of a different interpretation of these two verses the commentary of Sridhar Swami, who was a faithful adherent to the pure Vaishnava understanding of the Bhagavatam, but occasionally says something in such a way as to entice the Advaitavadis to agree with his commentary. We can look at that. Tomorrow we'll look at what the Sarvasambhadi says and how Sridhar Swami gives a different interpretation of those two verses. Okay, but we'll stop for now. So, Hare Krishna, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Tattva Sandarbha Ki Jai.